Morning. Oh, that was a sad good morning. Let's try it again. Good morning. Ah, yeah, it's way better. Okay, so the staff's going to come around and give you a note card. So they're just going to take that, and you're going to need it for later on in the teaching. We forgot to do it during announcements, so sorry about that. My fault. So, hey, wait, I thought the best way to start off this morning would be with a review, because you guys are starting school in how many weeks? How many? 3 weeks. Hey guys, how do you guys feel about that? Give me a thumbs up if you're excited, normal, sad. Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, the best way to love you guys well is to do a review. Just get you ready. Because this summer, we've been in 1 John, and JP, if you want to go to the next slide, it'll be the slide with the handout with the main ideas and the key verses. And so if you don't have one, let us know. We're going to get you one. But if you missed any weeks, go ahead and fill it in. Or take a picture of it so you can fill it in later. Because we've been studying 1 John for majority of the summer. And we're going to finish 2 and 3 John in the next 2 weeks. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about some of the main themes that John seems to be is hammering home in his letter to these believers that he's writing to. Because remember, he wrote this letter to circulate to multiple churches so they could know how to follow Christ and what it means to follow him. And so some themes that we've seen is you have dark versus light. And so if you are in Christ, you're supposed to walk in the light and not in the darkness. Or maybe it's the one of abiding or not abiding. And what it means to abide is to remain or be in Jesus. And if you know him, we're supposed to keep growing in him and abiding in him. Or maybe the ones that, you know, Hunter talked about last week, like love versus hate or obedience versus disobedience. That if we claim Christ, our lives should be marked by obedience to God and also loving God and loving others. And then this morning, I get the privilege of finishing out the letter of 1 John. And it's going to be in John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, if you want to go ahead and turn there and get ready. Because he's going to summarize all of his letter in these last few verses. And just like with any good movie or a book, we know that the conclusion is really important and it's really impactful. And it's supposed to be like, man, this is the author's last chance to say something. And it's going to be no different with John. He's going to have a lot of good things to tell us. But I think to illustrate John's main point in this last passage, I need to tell you about something that happened to me this summer and what I experienced. And it's this. Raise your hand if you've been on this ride. I'm amazed all of you survived. I'm amazed that I survived, okay? So if you know anything about me, I hate roller coasters. I am terrified of them. Yeah, so you're like, yes, it's scary. I'm going to trust a machine with my life getting into the seats and buckled down. I'm going to go upside down and over these drops. It sounds scary when you think about it logically, right? And so this is actually what I look like on roller coasters. It's like, it's like I'm terrified, right? And so, but I did go on the Time Traveler. I actually chose to go on it. And I thought, why? What made me actually get on this roller coaster if I'm so scared I actually lose, like, my ability to function? You can ask anybody. Like, I can't think. I, like, shut down. I just, like, don't speak. It's like a zombie. But what gave me confidence to get on the ride? It was these girls. These are 4 Springdale leaders that I've been mentoring and walking through life with this past year and a half or 2 years. And I know them. One of them's in this room. Anna's over there. And I know them, right? I trust them. I've lived life with them. We've learned about Jesus together. We've laughed together. They see me in the good and the bad. I've seen them in the good and the bad. I know their differences, their similarities. And they told me, Amy, you're not going to die. I promise you. Amy, you're not going to throw up when you get on the ride. It's going to be fine. But because I knew them, because I know who they truly are, I had confidence that what they were telling me was true, and it led me to actually get on Time Traveler. I'd actually do it again. Fun fact. Would anybody else do it again? Yes, that's terrifying. But I think there's an important principle there. Like, I knew them, and it led me to have confidence in them, and it led me to change the way I live. And that's what John's main point is at the end of chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, that knowing the true Christ, knowing who he truly is and what he has done, it leads us to confidence. It leads us to confidence in who he is and what he has done, and also how we are to live now. And you might be thinking now, well, what confidence do we have? What are the things that we have confidence in? And I would say, great question. John is going to answer that for us. And 3 big points as we look at verses 13 through 21. And we're going to go through the whole thing because I think it's so rich and it's good. And so be ready to take some notes. Like, want us to hear what John has to say to us at the end of his letter. And he's going to say, we can have confidence in eternal life. We can have confidence in asking and receiving in prayer. We can have confidence in God's protection for us because we know who the true Christ is. So we're going to walk through all three of these. Are you guys ready to do that? Yeah? Give me some head nods. You guys are with me. Yes? Yes? Okay. All right. Thanks, Isabella. Thanks for listening. All right. Let's jump in. So the first one we're going to see is in verse 13. And it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And the first thing that sticks out to me is this word, things. Whenever you, it's kind of a good rule of Bible study, if you see the word things or therefore or because of, it's really good to go back and look at the previous verses to see what it's talking about. And so what is John talking about here? And when he says the word things, he's talking about the two previous verses that Hunter touched on last week. And they say, and this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this is life in his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so the things that he's referring to is that, hey, if you're in Christ, you have life. You have this new freedom like Hunter talked about last week. And I think sometimes, even for me, we could overcomplicate, I think, the Christian faith in walking with Jesus. When I think John would say, it's actually really simple. If you've experienced freedom in Christ, if you are walking with him, experienced life change, then you're in Christ. You don't have to worry. You can be confident in that. And then he connects that, though, to us having eternal life, so we can be assured that, you may know that you have this eternal life. But what's the connection there? What's the connection between having life in Christ and also knowing we have eternal life? That Jesus has promised us that. Man, if we are in Christ, if you've experienced freedom, if you've experienced freedom from your old life, maybe it's from anxiety, from certain sin or certain struggles. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. I still struggle with sin, but I know there's been freedom from my old life. I am confident that I am in Christ, and that there's a promise of eternal life. And Thomas gave us this picture a couple weeks ago of, like, maybe this is what eternal life could look like, right? Maybe this is what the throne could look like. I don't know if it's what it looks like. I would think probably not. But I can say for sure that eternal life will be incredible. We get to spend it with our Redeemer and with our Savior, and that's a promise. If you've experienced new life and freedom in Christ, you can just spend eternity with the one who has saved us. And so we can be confident that we have eternal life because Jesus is trustworthy. And the next thing that John gives us in this passage, it has to do with asking and receiving in prayer. And this is what he says. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, towards Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And for me, as I was studying this, there are three things that really stuck out to me in this passage. And if you underline your Bible, I encourage you to underline these things. But the first one is, if you ask anything, ask for anything, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the requests that we have asked of him. And what does that say about who Christ is? I think it says that he wants to hear. He wants to listen. How many of us desire somebody who will listen, who will care about what we have to say, who we want somebody who wants to hear our struggles, our victories, our hurts, the things that we're finding joy in? I think these verses show that God wants that. He wants to hear. And it's not because he's forced to, it's because he desires to. But you might also catch another thing. There's a condition in this passage as well. It's according to what that he hears anything. Did you guys find it? According to what that he hears. Someone can say it. Or it's murmurs. His will? Yes. Great job. Right? So according to his will, we ask anything according to his will. He hears us and the requests we have asked him. Raise your hand if you've heard that concept before, like God's will, plan. Yes. Raise your hand if you're confused by it. Thank you. Thanks for honesty. I can be confused by it. Thanks, Caitlin. Because it's a really broad thought, right? And like, what does that mean? And as I was studying it, I was like, how do I narrow this down? And so I think there are two main ways we can look at God's will. Not like specific will for like my life or like your life, but in general, what is the two main things that God's will is? And the first one would be, it's God's plan of redemption. I know it's really broad, but it's, as you see in scripture, we see every story, everything is pointing back to God redeeming and saving this broken world and saving you who are broken, me who is broken, through his son's death on the cross. And it's this plan that's been about from eternity, from the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus the Son have been in this plan together and acting this and living this out. And nothing can stop this plan. Nothing can stop God's will of restoration, which is an incredible promise. So that's one aspect of God's will. But I think the second one is probably the one we think of most, and it's his commands, right? And so things that you would read in Scripture that John has laid out for us in previous like chapters of 1 John, things like walk in the light, or love your brother, or confess your sins. Those are all a part of God's will, and they show his heart and his desires, right? But what happens whenever we cross it out? What happens if we just read that verse, like, oh, if he hears anything, he hears all the things that I want, he hears my request, and he's going to give them to me. But instead of saying according to his will, we put our will in that place, in that spot. As I was thinking through that and thinking through my own life and what this looks like, the only thing that really popped into my brain was this. What do you guys get out of vending machines? What is your like favorite like thing to get out of a vending machine? Pretzels? What else? Goldfish? Yes, good. Actually, I don't like goldfish. I'm sorry, but that's good. What else? Anybody else? What do you guys like to get out of vending machines? Pop-Tarts, yes. Pop-Tarts are great, yes. Right, and so raise your hand if you are going to Washington Junior High. Is anybody going there? No one? Okay, so anyway, sorry. I went to Bentonville, Washington Junior High. In 7th and 8th grade, after every basketball practice, I would go to the vending machine next to the cafeteria, and I would get Twizzlers every single time. Why? I don't know. That's weird. But I knew the exact change. I needed 75 cents. I knew the button. I still know the button. It was E4. Isn't that crazy? I remember that. And I would put it in, and then I would expect Twizzlers to come out. And if they weren't there, I'd be upset. Like, where are my Twizzlers? People who supply the vending machines. Or if it got stuck, we all have been there when a vending machine, like, item gets stuck, and you're, like, trying to rock it and, like, kick it and knee it, and it's not working. I would get frustrated. And I think whenever we take out according to God's will out of praying and asking and receiving, we begin to treat God like a vending machine. Where it's like, hey, I'm putting in what I need to. I'm putting in my coins. I've gone to cell group. I've read my Bible. I've prayed this amount. I went to Sunday morning. Now I'm going to ask this of you, God. Now I expect this. I've been there. Maybe you're there this morning. And so John does not want us to treat God like a vending machine. I think what he actually is alluding to more, and the best way to describe it is with this picture. This is the picture of my dad and I. We look exactly alike. It's shocking. But growing up, as I got to know my dad more and more, as I matured, I began to take on his desires. As I got to know him more, as I talked to him, as he told me about things that he loves the Packers. Guess he loves the Packers now. I do. Do you have any Packer fans in here? Thank you. Thank you. One. Right? And so, well, because my dad loved them and because I was spending time with him and talking with him and growing a relationship with him, I took that on as one of my desires. And then also, my dad does a great job of caring for his family, especially for his mom, my grandma. And as I saw him do that, and as I watched him do that, as I talked to him about that, I took that on as well. So it changed my actions. So as I got to know my dad more, it changed my desires to look more like his. And another thing, too, when I growing up, you know, I would ask my dad for things because I knew that he wanted me to ask him for things because he loved me, because he cared for me, because he wanted to hear what happened at school that day, whether I got, like, maybe a B on something. That was a good thing for me if I got a B, right? Or if, like, this happened in sports that day. He wanted to hear those. Or he'd also want to hear this was hard with friends that day. He'd want me to bring those things to him. I would also ask things of him. I'd be like, hey, Dad, I remember asking him specifically, like, can I have, like, a horse when I was, like, 5? What did he say? No, of course. Right, by the time, but I was frustrated, right? And I don't understand, why can I, like, have this horse, whatever it may be? But it's because he knew what was best, and looking back on it, I can see that he said no out of love, or said not yet out of love. And in the same way, that's how we are to approach God in prayer and asking and receiving. Like, Lord, as we get to know him, as we abide in him, as John has been exhorting us, and as we've been talking about all summer, as we abide in him and remain in him and get to know him, our desires will begin to become his desires. We'll begin to pray more according to his will. And whenever he says no or not yet, we can trust that he knows what's best. But then John, as he continues on in this passage, he gives a specific thing to pray for according to God's will. And to be honest with you, I read this and I'm like, that is confusing. I'm like, why, John? Why did you put this in here? Like, this made perfect sense until you put this in here, and now it's like, ah, I don't fully understand that. Because there are people much smarter than me and scholars who have pored over these two verses that love Jesus but have different opinions on it. And so this morning, we're not going to be able to go over all of it, and that's okay. We're going to try to summarize it in a minute or so. And so I want to touch on it with you guys. I think it does have important principles for us to take out of it. But what he's going to talk about is praying for those who are caught in sin. And these are the verses. He says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. What? Anybody confused by that? Good, good. All of you, all of us should probably raise your hands. That is a good place to be, right? And so, and here's how I would summarize it. John is talking about two different hearts and people before the Lord. And I'm gonna use Play-Doh to describe them. How many of you guys have played with Play-Doh? Yeah, it's a great thing, right? So Play-Doh, what do you do with Play-Doh? Eat it. I don't know. That's not where I was going, but great answer. What else? What else do you do with Play-Doh? You make things out of it, right? Because it's moldable. And if you don't like it, you're like, I'll just crunch it back together and I'll make something new, right? And so it can transform. You can shape it into what it needs to be in order for what you want it to look like. That's good Play-Doh. What happens when Play-Doh gets hard? The universal, like, no! It literally becomes a rock. I Googled Play-Doh becoming hard, that's what came up. It becomes a rock. And you can't mold it anymore, you can't shape it. Right? It is. It's not moldable anymore like the previous Play-Doh was. And I believe that's what John is describing in these hearts before the Lord. The one heart where the sin does not lead to death, so somebody can recognize their sin and see their brokenness and be willing to change and desire to change. So maybe it's whenever it's the Lord convicts you through scripture on a Sunday morning, or maybe when you're reading it on your own, or through discipleship, or through one of your cell group leaders. A heart that is moldable, like Play-Doh, will receive that and want to change. But the heart that is hardened, it's like the rock that deliberately continues to sin over and over again, who knows, and what's it's brought to them, like, hey, this is sin, and this is not where life is found, but they continue to pursue it, and over time, their heart becomes hardened. Just like Play-Doh, as you leave it out over time, it gets more and more hard, and you can't mold it anymore. And so the sin that leads to death is a heart that is hardened, that keeps rebelling against the Lord, because they're not choosing life in Christ. And ultimately, I think this is what John wants us to remember and having confidence in asking and receiving, is that if we ask for anything according to his will, that he hears us, and we have the requests that we have asked of him. So that does mean praying for those who know who may be caught in sin. Maybe people come to your mind right now. I know for me, that happens for me. And this passage convicts me to pray for them, to pray that their hearts would not be hardened, that they would be led back to life. And that's God's heart in this, is that he wants all to be saved. So he's challenging us, like, pray for them. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family members who don't know the Lord so that they would. Because we can have confidence, just as you go to a good father or to a good friend, that they want to hear and they want to listen and they want to respond. And the next thing that John calls us to have confidence in comes from verses 18 and 19. He says that we know that everyone who is born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So John is going, once again, he's summarizing a truth he's talked about in all five chapters of his letter, that he who is born of God does not keep on sinning. Does that mean that those who are in Christ, if you place your faith in Christ, that he's calling us to perfection? Because we can never be perfect, but we are called to leave our life of sin, whether that be anxiety, or putting identity in a relationship, or sexual immorality, or gossip, or lying. Anything that's of the old self, we're called to flee. Not to be perfect, but to flee from sin. The question I naturally ask is why? What gives what powers the motivation to flee from sin? What gives the power to do that? And he answers that in this part of the verse. God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So in God's protection, man, it leads us to flee from our sin, knowing that we are protected by the one who has saved us and has redeemed us, and it leads us to want to flee from our old life. And as I was thinking about how to illustrate this, I was talking with my friend Caitlin a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this this puppy who saved its owner from something, and it was a perfect illustration to describe this. This is Todd. Everyone look at Todd. Also, can we just pause and just admit Todd is a great dog name? It's an amazing dog name, right? So this is Todd on the left when he was healthy. This is Todd on the right after he got bit by a rattlesnake. He's okay, I promise. He made it. But here's what happened. And here's why I think it illustrates God's protection and us fleeing from sin so well. The owner was taking Todd on a walk, and the owner did not see this rattlesnake. Just walking, this normal. Todd, the dog, it sounds like I'm talking about a person, saw the snake, and before it bit the owner's foot, he put his face in front of it, and he took the brunt, he took the blow. So he took the venom, he took all the pain for his owner because his owner was unaware. She didn't see the danger. And then in an interview after, they were talking to the owner, and she's like, now I know I don't need to go down that path because it's dangerous. I need to go down a different one. And in the same way, Jesus stepped in when we were in danger. In the same way, whenever we were so lost in our brokenness and our sin, we didn't even see what was right in front of us. We were on this path of hurt and of brokenness. He stepped in and took the brokenness for us so we could be healed. He took the pain. He took the pain for us. In the same way that the owner went down a different path now because Todd protected her, in the same way, so as God protects us, we now go down a different path. We get to choose to flee from sin because we know that path is dangerous and it's not good. It doesn't lead to life because Christ has led us down a different path and showed us a different life. So we can be confident in that we have eternal life and asking, receiving in prayer and also in God's protection. And then John begins to conclude his letter with this verse. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And I love this verse because it's a summary verse of what John believes about the gospel and believes about Jesus. And we see the gospel so clearly laid out in that the Son of God has come. Jesus chose to come and to take on human flesh because he desires for us to know him and have a relationship with him, to be healed of our brokenness. And he came so that he could give us understanding of who he was, that he is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God. The Bible is true in what it says about him. And then understanding that we may know him, that we can abide in him, as John's been talking about through his whole letter. And in knowing him, we can have life. And then once we know him, we are in him. We have this protection from the evil one and from sin. We don't have to choose sin anymore. We don't have to fall back into those old habits that weigh us down or that bring us shame and guilt, because you're in him now. And then ultimately, this is John's summary statement about Jesus. He is the true God and the eternal life. And because we know, because we know that he is the true Christ, that leads us to have confidence in God's protection, leads us to have confidence in asking and receiving because we know that he wants to hear us and he wants us to bring our struggles and our victories to him. And we know that we have eternal life because he is trustworthy when he says, if you have new life in me, you experience eternity with me. So knowing the true Christ leads to confidence. And you might think now, oh, okay, Amy's probably done. Amy's probably concluding, or like John's probably done. There's actually one more thing, one more verse that John has in this chapter. And it's a famous last line in scripture. And I would compare it to like famous last movie lines. And we think, you know, those famous last movie lines, before somebody dies or it's at the end of the movie, you think it's going to be really inspirational and it's really encouraging, right? Or it's like really celebratory. But I actually think John's last line in 1 John is more like this last line. This is from Lord of the Rings. Raise your hand if you've seen Lord of the Rings. Anybody? A few? That's great. It's one of my favorite movies. This is Gandalf. This is right before he dies. And you think, oh, he's going to give them a charge. And go hard after this. Go celebrate this. Here's like the vision for where you're going. Instead, he gives them a caution and a warning and a command. And he says, fly, you fools. The same way, that's what John does at the end of his letter. And he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's a caution, it's a command, it's a warning. Why would he end on that? Why would that be the last thing that he would say after all these many chapters that we have studied? Why would he end on that? That's because this is huge. Because he knows that if we go after idols, if we pursue idols, it's the most dangerous thing to us knowing the true Christ. He knows that it will keep us from knowing who Jesus truly is if we keep going after idols. And idols, for those of you who may not have known that term before, know what it is. An idol is anything that we worship or love above God. And sometimes those things can be good things. It could be sports. It could be something you're doing in school. It could be a family member, a friend. Those are good things. Whenever they become a God thing, that's when they become a bad thing. And that's when it becomes an idol. So John is warning. He's like, keep yourselves from idols. If you keep following after idols, you're not going to be able to abide. You're not going to be able to walk in the light. You're not going to be able to obey. It's going to distract you from who Jesus truly is. So in the same way that John encouraged his readers, so I would encourage you, like FSM, students, leaders, staff, me, keep yourselves from idols. And one of the, I think, the best ways to fight against idols is to expose them and to write them down. And so you all have a card, right? And if you don't have a pen, you can share with somebody, or we'll get you a pen. Here's what I want you to do on your card. On one side, I want you to answer the first question. What are the idols in your life? And if ask the Lord that. It's a hard question to ask, but ask him. What is holding me back from following you? Are there lies that I'm believing about who you are, Jesus? Or maybe it's a doubt that you have, like, Lord, I don't know if you're near. I don't know if you hear me. Or maybe it's a question you have, like, Jesus, are you even real? If you have those questions, write them down. I'm so glad that you're here to ask those questions. And that's okay to be there. I've been there before. So write those down. Or maybe for you, the question or the answer to what's my idol could be a friendship. It could be desiring this relationship or this achievement. Write those things down and process that with the Lord. And then on the back, on the same side of the card, or on the same card, you're going to answer the second question. What are the truths about Jesus, man, that lead you to have confidence? Right? And what do you need to remember about who he is or what he has done? Maybe it's something he's done in your life, and write that down. Maybe it's just a truth about who he is. Like for me, I wrote down gracious and that he satisfies. And I need that reminder. And then underneath it, write down our key verse, which is 1 John 5:20. And it's just the gospel laid out. And then put it in your Bible, put it on your mirror. I'm going to put mine in my car, probably, where I can see it, where I can, if I'm tempted by my idols, the things that tip me away from Jesus, like people's approval, insecurities, or perfection, I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to remember, no, this is who Jesus is, and this is where true life is found. And so Jake and the band are going to play behind for a couple minutes, just as you process that, as you write those things down. So let me pray, and you'll have some time to reflect and talk with the Lord. God, you're good and you're faithful, and thanks for reconciling us to your Son's death on the cross. And thank you that we get to know you, and thank you that we get to have confidence in who you are and what you have promised us. And God, may we be honest as we process and bring things to you about what may be holding us back from following you and knowing you. So will you bring things to light where we're hidden in the darkness? But as we bring them to light, we know that you're gracious and you're good. So will you remind us of truth, of how much you love us and want to lavish your grace on us. May we be people that are marked by the gospel, that are marked by knowing the true Christ that leads us to have confidence in the way we live and the way we speak. God, thanks for these students. Help us to love you more because of this morning. In the name I pray. Amen.